Hi, I'm João Almeida, and you're watching The Cycling Dane.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Cycling Dane YouTube channel. Today, we're doing another one of our previews of a World Tour stage race, and the one on today's agenda is the UAE Tour. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Kroger himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, the UAE Tour, it's still a fairly young race. We had it as the Abu Dhabi Tour. Now it's the UAE Tour in the fourth edition now.
Yeah, well, this race is rebranded. It used to be the Abu Dhabi Tour, then the UAE Tour. It's owned by an Italian race organizer, and it's our only race in the Middle East at the World Tour level. It's also probably one of the big hitter stage races coming in this early part of the season. During the COVID sort of 2021 and 22 season, it was the opening World Tour stage race. We're back to normal proceedings, you could say, with this race being the second World Tour stage race of the year, but with a strong start list, it is going to be very interesting indeed.
Yeah, but despite being so close to the start of this race, the start list isn't the most populated we've seen. But Ewan, in past editions, we've seen dominance by Slovenians. Roglic took the first one, then Adam Yates won, and then we had Tad Pogacar win twice. But Tad Pogacar is not coming to the race, and do you think that might be a mistake from Pogacar in any way?
I don't think so. I think he wants to start a season in a different way. That's why he's going to Spain to start the season, a little bit different to last year and in 2021, mixing things up. We like that in the sport. And given that his team is UAE, it's obviously a big goal for them to succeed in this race. And they clearly have faith in their leader, Adam Yates, who moved over to the squad in the offseason. He's going to be leading that team. He's a reliable force in this race. Pogacar's going to be fine. He's got some good one-day racing in his legs at the GP Cayenne, and he's now going to be sent off to do other stage races as well. So I don't think there's anything to worry about for Pogacar. None of his real Tour de France contenders are here anyway.
I mean, just if you look at all the traveling they're doing, going back and forth between the Middle East, looks very tiring and feels very tiring just watching it from afar. So Ewan, before we get into the favorites that we just alluded to with Adam Yates, what does the route look like for the 2023 UAE Tour?
Well, the 2023 UAE Tour looks very like the past two editions we've had. Everything, though, will kick off with a sprint stage from Al Dhafra to Al Mirfa. The end of the stage will be on a circuit, which will allow probably the sprinters a chance at glory and the race leader's jersey. However, that jersey stint won't last long. On stage two, we have a 17.2-kilometer long time trial around Khalifa Port. We last visited here on the UAE Tour in 2019 for a team time trial, but this time it is an individual time trial where each rider will battle it out against the clock for the best time possible in this F-shaped circuit. It's very fast, minimal corners. It should be very exciting for the hardy time trialists in the peloton. One very notable one, Remco Evenepoel. Number three, though, will begin in Umbrella Beach. No reference to Rihanna there. And we'll finish on to Jebel Jais, which is the highest point of this UAE Tour. It's 21 kilometers at a 5% average gradient. In the past couple of years, when we visited Jebel Jais, it hasn't done the most damage in terms of the GC, but it does give you sort of first palette. It does give you first sort of sense of who is going to be the key contenders for the race. And what is usually a 500-meter or so dash to the line. Pogacar has won here in the past, Roglic has won here in the past, as has Jonas Vingegaard. It's a really all-star list of winners here on top of Jebel Jais. Stage 4, though, will begin in traditional Dubai at Al Shindaga, and we'll head over to Dubai Harbour via The Palm, that huge hotel, questionable architecture, for what will probably be another sprint finish. Stage 5 will be from Armarjan Islands to Al Kuwain, which will also, once again, be a chance for the sprinters, as will Stage 6, which begins in, can't believe I'm saying this one, the Warner Brothers World, Abu Dhabi, and will be finishing at the Abu Dhabi Breakwater, which we visited a number of times in the UAE Tour, and will provide the final sprinters showdown. However, the race will end with a summit finish, the most notable summit finish in the history of the UAE Tour, the Jebel Hafit, a mountain that's been tamed by Pogacar on numerous occasions. And in the past, it has really been the focal point of this race, deciding the GC. And it will be the final stage of this year's race. And the 10-kilometer climb at 6.6% will be the real show closer for a week of racing in the Middle East.
But anyways, Ewan, you mentioned him before, Adam Yates, he's kind of been... Well, he's won the race before. He's been finishing on the podium every single edition that Tad Pogacar has won. If you can't beat them, join them. He's now riding for UAE Team Emirates. And what do you think their chances are of winning it? They have an incredibly strong lineup here. Jay Vine as well has won 100% of the stage races he's represented UAE. So yeah, what do you think of UAE and their chances of retaining their title?
It's a mightily strong UAE squad. Of course, as I mentioned, it's the UAE Tour and this is the UAE team. They want to do well, they want to succeed, and this team can do it even if they don't have Pogacar. Adam Yates is probably one of the most legitimate leaders we have here. He won back in 2020 on the shortened COVID edition of the race. In 2021 and 22, behind Pogacar, he finished in second place in both whilst riding for Ineos Grenadiers. So it really is good sort of promise at this time of year and also on this route. This is a bit of a carbon copy of years gone by. There's a little bit more time trialing in this year's edition than previous years, which may be to his detriment in comparison to the other favorites we're talking about. But Adam Yates is certainly a surefire bet for the podium. If he doesn't make that podium, I will be flabbergasted, given his track record at Jebel Hafit, which is really the deciding moment of this race. Looking now to the other riders in UAE, Jay Vine also provides a good sort of contender here. He rode a really strong Santos Tour Down Under. Yes, there wasn't really a Jebel Hafit style climb, but we saw on the Vuelta last year that he can do well on those kinds of climbs. It's just a question about form. He's Australian, he's peaked, well not peaked, but he's targeted the Tour Down Under and the early season Australian races. So with that big objective done, is he now sort of cruising in terms of his fitness for the UAE Tour, or is he still on that high with his fitness? Looking down the start list as well, Marc Soler will be a huge rock in this, in the mountains, for Jebel Jais and Jebel Hafit, as will Brandon McNulty of the USA, who has ridden well in February in the past, hasn't had the best start to the season with crashes and just sort of missing the mark, but he will certainly be an important teammate to rely on. And if our sources are correct, we're not going to be seeing Pascal Ackermann here, which does free up more space for mountain support to try to isolate the other favorites here, notably a certain Remco Evenepoel, who is sharing his team with Tim Merlier, a sprinter.
Well, I mean, you jumped the gun a bit there, but Remco Evenepoel, the world champion, such a solid force in the one-day races. He has this remarkable record. There's not many one-day races, stage races, that he hasn't won that he's competed in, maybe most notably this year in San Juan. He didn't actually win. He finished seventh. We all know that Miguel Angel Lopez won in that affair. But Ewan, the world champion, as you said, sharing leadership with Tim Merlier, does that leave him somewhat exposed compared to this very strong UAE team?
To some extent, yes. We're missing sort of, according to our provisional start list, we're going to see Vrvaka and Seri here. Two strong climbers, but then they're not in the, sort of the league of Marc Soler, Jay Vine and Brandon McNulty. They just aren't. And then sharing out responsibility with Merlier, that does sort of leave Merlier with probably a lead out man and someone else to provide the train as well. He's maybe losing two or three riders for the sprint train, whilst UAE are really, they've got Milano on his own, but they're focusing mainly on winning that GC. So I would say that the team probably does sort of not maybe let him down. That seems a little bit too emotional, but sort of, it's not quite as strong as UAE is. But one thing that Evenepoel has on his hands is that he is a fantastic time trialist, and there are 17 kilometers of time trialing here. Adam Yates, he's a good time trialist, but he's not quite a sort of S-tier, a top-tier rider, like against the clock, as his brother has shown over recent years. Adam Yates leaves a little bit to be desired against the clock, but what he will probably lose there, he will try to get back on Jebel Hafit. If Evenepoel just plays a defensive after a strong time trial performance, I'm quite convinced that Evenepoel could ride this out for victory. However, on a finish like Jebel Hafit, if UAE go full shablamo like they have over the past 2 years, it will be hard for Evenepoel to hang on to the wheels.
What can we actually draw from the San Juan International, where we saw it was a good field that we had? He did attack quite far out. It was kind of like on the Alto Colorado when he attacked with about 5k to go. We're all like, oh well, that's it, the Remco is gonna go up the road, he's gonna win by a minute. And it didn't quite happen. He got brought back by the Ineos team. Okay, it was a phenomenally strong Ineos team, and Miguel Angel Lopez was definitely on super form, peaking for that race. But can we draw any conclusions from that? Has he learned from that? He's been doing huge rides here in Spain to prepare for this race as well.
Yeah, I mean, San Juan doesn't feel really comparable with the UAE Tour, given that UAE Tour is world tour level, so top tier of professional cycling. San Juan is not. So maybe he was sort of playing around a little bit more, experimenting, trying out new tactics. Whereas at the UAE Tour, he's got to be on the ball here. He's got to be sort of knowing where his rivals are, what their form is like, and sort of reading them. So I suspect he's going to play a little bit more safe. The route doesn't really lend itself to big Ave Nepal attacks. You know, when sometimes we see a big Ave Nepal attack where he attacks from maybe, what, 20 or so kilometers out, that's just not going to happen on this kind of route. The UAE Tour very much is concentrated on the final climb at Jais and Hafid. So I suspect he's probably on decent form. The San Juan wasn't a great indicator of his legs, but this is Ave Nepal we're talking about. I'm sure he's measured his effort well here and will try to get another strong stage race result like he's done so on so many occasions at the World Tour level.
I mean, if we look at UAE, could they not just throw one rider up the road all the time and then Remco Evenepoel with somewhat weaker team compared to the riders, compared to if you throw Brendan McNulty up the road and he has to do all the chasing because his teammates are gone, isn't that going to leave him a bit exposed?
Yeah, I think it could. I think Evenepoel now really needs to be aware of what you are going to be doing in the mountains, because they will be trying to play with him in the same way that Bora Hansgrohe will be trying to play with him at the Giro. We're going to see Ineos Grenadiers or whoever at the Giro try to play with him. So he needs to be on the ball with this one and sort of test out his tactics and his rivals before his big showdown this year at the Giro d'Italia, because this, it's a high-level race with high-level teams, and it will be a good sort of stepping stone towards building up towards the Corsa Rosa.
But anyways, it's not just about Quickstep and UAE Team Emirates. We also do have Jumbo-Visma here, and it looks like they are going to be heading up Sepp Kuss, maybe? Or maybe the in-form young Brit Thomas Gloag. And Ewan, what do you think, what kind of role do you think Jumbo-Visma are going to play at this race?
I think they're going to be rather invisible, I'm afraid. We've seen Jumbo-Visma over the past couple of years, over the past 2 years of the UAE Tour, just sort of be nowhere really. Sometimes when they don't have that sort of big hitter GC guy, they get a little bit lost in the melee. We saw even at the Giro last year. Yes, Antoine Tolhoek went up in the breakaway, but apart from that, team were a little bit incognito. And I think that's what we're going to see here. Without Roglic, without Vingegaard, without Wilco Kelderman, it's going to be difficult. We've seen Sepp Kuss fielded as a GC leader on so many occasions, in terms of, we even made videos on it back in 2020. Is Sepp Kuss the real deal? Is he going to be able to be a leader sometime? He got his chance at the 2021 UAE Tour, and what did he do? He finished in about 20th place in GC. I'm not convinced it's going to be a solid result for Jumbo-Visma. If anything, I'm more confident about Tom Gloag get a solid result for himself. But this is a big step up. He looked good at Valenciana, if he can repeat that form. And they're finishes that should suit him. They're steep finishes. Tom Gloag is good at a steep finish. He could be good for a sort of 8th, 7th, 10th place, where those kind of rankings. We've seen a couple of younger riders slot into those in the past couple of years. I'm thinking of Matthias Schermoser in the past, who managed to slip into top 10 at a young age. Tom Gloag is a similar age and very, very similar style of rider. So I'm expecting big things from him, not quite so much from Kuss.
Before we touch on the sprinters battle, which is looking very interesting, we should also mention one Globetrotter from Bahrain victorious, starting his season in Australia, then heading to Spain, and now here in, heading to UAE. Pil Bilbao, Ewan. He's been fourth in the Vuelta Community Valenciana and third in the Santos Tour Down Under, really heading up the Bahrain victorious season so far.
Exactly. Pil Bilbao is someone who just always brings a little bit of pizzazz to the table, consistency across the board. And I think he's a rider that gets slept on an awful lot. In pro cycling, he's had a couple of really, really strong results, being up there in top five in some big races, including this race last year when he finished in third place at Bahrain. And I think he's got a good chance to do the same. He's a strong time trialist. The 17 kilometers against the clock will benefit him. He's obviously on good form with third place at the Tour d'Andra and his Valenciana result. So with that, as well as his all-round consistency, I think Pail Bilbao's got to be a fix on for top five in this race.
So before we go into predictions, the sprinters battle is looking very interesting, to say the least. We've got Dylan Groenewegen, we've got Sam Welsford, we've got Fernando Gaviria, Mark Cavendish, Sam Bennett, Caleb Ewan, Ewan, it's a bit, yeah, mouth-watering here for any sprinter fans.
Yeah, exactly. This race, it really is sort of a sprinter showdown at this part of the year. And with so many big hitters, it's difficult where to start. We should probably begin with Quickstep here with Tim Merlier. Quickstep, who performed particularly well at the UAE Tour over the past couple of years. And Merlier, as Belgian champion, will be heading up their squad. A strong sprinter. He's already taken a victory in Oman in a sprint there, which was a good signal of form. But I think maybe Hoenewegen, he's shown solid form at the Saudi Tour, but a little bit let down to see him beaten by the likes of Jonathan Milan and Sonny Consonni at the Saudi Tour as well. However, what Hoenewegen has that other teams don't have is probably a full blown out lead out train with Luka Mezgets and the others. And then we have Astana Kazakhstan, really, with Cavendish, Boll and Martinelli. I'm very intrigued to see what Davide Martinelli is going to bring to the table for Astana. I think he's going to be a bit of a lead out star of 2023. This could really get him going and get Cavendish with an early season victory. He won here last year. And with this full lead out train, it could be a huge morale booster for Astana.
Yeah, he's the only one of compared to the other sprinters who hasn't taken this early victory. Everyone else seems to have put one on the board, but Mark Cavendish hasn't really had the opportunity. Okay, he's only really been at the Tour of Oman, but yeah, Ewan, this is the kind of the practice for the potential Tour de France stage victory in a sprint if he doesn't go the breakaway route. Well, it's the first link up between him and Kees Bol.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see. I think they have big ambitions. Kees Bol was, there was an interview during the Saudi Tour where he said, oh, we're working 100% towards getting that Tour de France victory. So I don't think he's going to be chasing his own success. He's content to be leading out Cavendish, Martinelli as well, adding to that train with his expertise. And to be honest, I saw interviews with Cavendish at Oman and he seemed incredibly relaxed. Probably the most chilled out I've seen Cavendish in a very long time. He can be quite prickly with the media, but every time I saw an interview with him in Oman, very cheery, very relaxed and chilled. It shows that I think he's probably quite content at Astana, and I'm hoping that leads to some good results here, where he's not under pressure, he's not feeling a little bit sort of battered and bruised in this new team. He's settled in well and he's finding his rhythm. It might take a couple of stages for him, Martinelli and Boll to get things sorted out. But once they do, I think that this could really be a good sprinting force. Cavendish against Hoenewegen, against Caleb Ewan and so forth. Oh, it's going to be interesting. I haven't quite seen him beat those guys. Last year at UAE Tour, we were missing top flight Hoenewegen, missing top flight Caleb Ewan. But we'll wait and see. I'm quite quietly confident about Cavendish. Surprising for me to say that.
But yeah, without further ado, let's get into our favorite part of the show, the predictions round. And yeah, there's no Pogacar to put on the top. Ewan, who is your top three for the UAE Tour 2023?
I'm going to say that third place goes to Peo Bilbao. I think second place will go to Evenepoel. I say the winner's Yates. I think UAE are going to do this. Yates is a reliable force of the UAE Tour. They've got a much stronger team. I think Yates is going to rev things up in Hafid and take just enough time to dethrone Evenepoel of his leader's jersey.
It's always good when we don't pick the same. I was going to go a bit AWOL, but I won't. I'll do Bilbao is in good form. Okay, I'll go Bilbao, Yates, Remco. Pretty boring, no outlandish thing. So anyways, we can't finish without a bonus round. And Ewan, where will the points classification go in the 2023 edition of the UAE Tour?
I'm going to go risky. He's not confirmed yet. Jasper Philipsen of Alpecin De Koninck. He's currently not on the start list, but his lead-out man, Ramon Sinkeldam, is. So I'm going to suggest that it will be Jasper Philipsen.
Okay, that'll look funny when he doesn't even go there. Yeah,
it's risky.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Dylan Groenewegen. Why not? So anyways, that's it for our preview of the UAE Tour. Make sure to check out our website as well, www.thecyclingdane.com, for the write-up. And like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below who you think is going to win the UAE Tour. And of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.